Sunday. It's very, very exciting. So I was talking to the team this morning. We have Easter, right? And we all know why we're Christians. But we have Easter. And it just reminds us, we reflect on Easter, we reflect on Jesus dying and rising again for us, and it was all because of how much he loved us. That is what we live every day. Pentecost, hopefully, we live every day. But we get to actually remember what the infilling of the Holy Spirit means. But some of us don't live it every day. And so today represents us being infilled with the Holy Spirit, to know what's living on the inside of us. So Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We're going to go through quite a few things today, but this is the main promise that was promised to us. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power. That is the promise. That was the promise. The promise has been fulfilled, but you will receive power. So Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus rose, it was the old Jewish tradition. So you can go back into the Jewish traditions, but it was 50 days after Jesus rose, and that's what 50 means. It's Pentecosti in Greek, and it means divine promise. And that's what was fulfilled 50 days after. So do we even know the power that's on the inside of us? Or are we a little unsure? Have we left it dormant because it's a little weird? It's a little weird to know what the Holy Spirit does. Do we think that we actually have it? Because sometimes we can actually just attribute it to one evident, which is tongues. And some people think, well, that's a bit weird, so I don't know if I have it. And so we don't really use it. So we're going to explore a little bit today. So thank you, Father. We just thank you, God, that it's your word, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're in every single one of us, Father, that has confessed Jesus as Lord. So we thank you, God, that you are speaking, that you are true, and that you are speaking and encountering every single heart that's here and listening this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Acts 1:3-8, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." I just wanted to just say in this, it does not say you will receive power for yourself only. It says you will receive power, or you will receive the Holy Spirit that will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. There's a reason you have this power sitting on the inside of you, and it's not just for you alone. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the disciples have Jesus, they lose Jesus, and then Jesus says to them, "It's better for you if I go. Because if I stay, the Holy Spirit, Advocate, Comforter, whichever translation you use, will not come. But if I go, then he'll come." So if we just read these words, but you think about it and you think, well, because we spoke about the two men on the way to Emmaus, and you think, they were so hopeless. Right? So you imagine yourself losing someone you held so dear and you held hope to, and you lose that person. You're hopeless, you're sort of depressed, you've lost this faith, he's the one that you hoped into. Then he comes back. Now you're hope-filled. Then he goes, "It's better for you if I go." And then he says, "You're not even listening to me. You're too busy basically mourning. You're not even asking me where I'm going because you're too busy mourning what I've told you." And you're like, "Oh, yeah, because you've told me that you're going again." I'm pretty sure every single one of us, well, I would be, not thinking about where he's going. I'd be thinking, "You've just come back. and now you're leaving again. But he says, it is better for you if I go. So he's actually saying to us, what is living on the inside of you, right? You know where I'm going. So if Jesus was walking with you, so he's saying right now, so I'm saying, Jesus, what you're saying to me, this is what I would say to him, is better for me than if I could physically touch you, that if I could physically walk with you, watch your miracles, hear you, eat with you, listen to your stories, watch you raise people. Everything that you did with the disciples, you're telling me that instead of that, what's living on the inside of me is better than that. That's what he's saying. So the question, one of the questions, there's a few questions. One of the questions this morning is, do you have such a relationship with what's living on the inside of you that is better than if Jesus were to physically be walking with you? And if not, then you're not utilizing the Holy Spirit the way you should be. Because there's so much power in you. Better. Because I'm sure every single one of us would think, imagine what it would be like in those times that Jesus is sitting with us, talking to us, like giving us stories, teaching us, walking with us, watching him perform those miracles. And he's saying, it is better for you if I leave. Because of what's on the inside of you. Because now they're not just walking with the power, watching the power. That power is now living on the inside of them. It's transitioned from walking alongside of them to now living on the inside of them. And then Pentecost means it's now living on the inside of us, because now it's available for all of us. So then now it's gone from just us reading, us listening, us hearing, to going, oh, it's now living on the inside of me. So it's actually now better for me that he went. So instead of us actually going, oh, I wish I was in those times, imagine what it's like being in those times, is that going, well, this is actually better for me. So is your relationship with the Holy Spirit better than if he was physically in the flesh with you? We've been talking about transformation for now almost half of this year. You can't get transformation without the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. That's the only way. It's only through Pentecost that we can get the transformation. It's not through our willpower, it's not through our strength, it's not through what we do, it's not through what we say, it's not through being a good person, it's not through the good deeds that we do, it's not through thinking kindness, it's not through speaking kindness, it's not through any of that. That doesn't get produced in us because we do it with our actions, with our, all the, in our hearts and what comes out, all of that is a reflection. But transformation, true transformation only happens through the Holy Spirit, only happens because of Pentecost. Transformation only happens because of that. True transformation. Elton last week. Who was here last week? And some people listened to his message. I can tell you, I was sitting on the edge of my seat last week. I'm sure you all would have thought that. Oh, Lisa. So when I went over Elton's message, I read through it, and he didn't actually write down what he was going to say in the depth of what he was going to say. So as he was going through his moments of past, his testimony, I'm sitting there on the edge of my seat going, oh dear, what's going to come out next? 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 That was just me. But what really it was the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. That's just me, because I know our life, I know his life, and then I was like, don't drop my name anywhere. So I was like, and at one point he went lit, and then he went somewhere else. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I was praying on the edge of my seat as he was speaking. But anyway, what he spoke last week was the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. That was what that was. His testimony and everyone's testimony here Whether you've lived a full life of Christianity or not a full, it does not matter. Because at some point, whether you were brought up Christian or not brought up Christian, at some point you gave your heart to the Lord, right? At some point you had to say, Jesus, I choose you. So the rest was gone. At some point. At some point you questioned, so then it was gone. So there was at some point the Holy Spirit went, okay, I'm infilling you. His testimony last week was, that was me then. This is the change now. This is who Jesus is in me now. This is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is what... So Trent, well, I don't know who was here for Trent, but when Trent came, he said these words, God is always in charge, but we're in control. And some of us can struggle with that because, oh, God's in control. And we sort of sit there and we go, oh, well, but God's in control. Why does this happen? God's in control. Why does that happen? But he sort of said, we have control if we come to church. We have control of the choices we make. We have control of what we say. We have control of the actions we do. We have control of where we go. But sometimes we sit back and go, why did that happen, God? Right? Elton had to take control of what he was going to choose to do in his life in the next step, whether he was going to ask the Lord to be in his life, whether he was going to say, yes, God, I will do this. And there was a journey after he said, yes, God. So he had to make choices constantly because habits were already formed. So it was a choice to be in control of that next step. It was a choice to go, yes, okay, what is the Holy Spirit saying? You had to actually connect with the power that was on the inside of you to make that choice, to be in control of that choice, to be able to allow God to take charge. If we don't be in control of the next step, God can't take charge. So we have to. We can't just say God's in control and then make a choice over here. No, we've been in control of that choice. God's in charge, but he can't be in charge if we don't allow the control to be given to God. Because he's in charge, but we have to give him that control with the control that we choose in our actions. Does that make sense? Did in my brain. So Elton made that choice. So I sort of used Elton to get into Peter, because Peter was a bit of a hot mess, right? So we can sort of get into Peter for a little bit of a minute. So we can all sort of relate to Pete a little bit, right? Not this Pete, you know, Peter, right? So we can sort of relate to him in a little bit, because he was a bit inconsistent. He was a little bit foot in mouth. I have a little bit of foot and mouth disease. We all know this. I sort of go, yep, I will say something and go, I really didn't mean that. But Peter, in lots of different ways, had numerous falls. He failed numerous times. He sank in his faith. He rebuked Jesus. He was very impulsive before speaking, before acting. He fell asleep when he was told not to by Jesus. He denied Jesus 3 times. To a servant girl, mind you, not even to someone in authority, which showed he really was either intimidated or very weak internally. So it wasn't even to someone in authority that he denied him. He was inconsistent in his faith. Then after Pentecost, so I'm going to backwards a little bit with the scriptures in Pentecost, but after Pentecost and after he was infilled, it says here from verse 14 in Acts 2, then Peter stepped up forward with the 11 after the apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. It was lucky this did not happen at 3 p.m. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That was boldness from a guy who denied Jesus to a servant girl. He stood up in front of thousands and said this. Peter was different. He stood up for his faith boldly in front of thousands. 3,000 people were saved that day. He preached the gospel without fear. He performed miracles he couldn't do before. He endured persecution. He confronted authorities without even flinching. He led the early church. Peter was a totally changed man. He not only experienced the converting power of Jesus, but instead of his inconsistency, he experienced the sustained power of the Holy Spirit. And that is the difference than just saying, Jesus, be my Lord, to actually going, Holy Spirit, who are you in me? And I will continuously, every day, give you control. Every day, give you control. Every day, give you control. That's what the consistency is. Because we need sustained consistency. It's not just about giving our heart. Because, so they had, so a couple months earlier, when Jesus had died, they were all huddled in a room, all fearful, right? We read this. They were all fearful. They were all huddled in a room. So now they're bold. Earlier, Peter stumbled when he spoke during Jesus' trial. Now he was articulate and he was well-spoken. Never like a fisherman before. There was a very clear, noticeable change. Came out from behind closed doors, and he was bold. Not even the resurrection did that. Not even them seeing Jesus and seeing the scars did that. It was only after the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's why it was better that he went, because it wasn't even being with him again. It wasn't even seeing the holes, the scars, knowing he was with them again. Because then that created in my head, I'm thinking that created dependency again. Well, Jesus, you're back, so now I can attach again. That's what I'm thinking. So he says, it's better if I go. And the moment he goes, all right, now I'm going to stand up and I'm going to speak for Jesus, the church starts. That's what's in us. So if Jesus was with us in flesh, we'd be like, well, I'm not going to do that. Jesus, you're the one with all the power. You do that. Which one of us is going to stand in front of Jesus and go, you rise? We're going to go, no, Jesus, you got all the power. You do it. So it's better if he goes, right? Because it wasn't even him showing his scars that made them rise in boldness. It wasn't that. It was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So let's sort of go back to the beginning, because it was just like the story of when we look at Elton. There was a noticeable change. If there is not a noticeable change in you from the moment that you said, Jesus, you are my Lord and you are in my life, there is not a noticeable change in you. You are not using the Holy Spirit to your fullest potential, if at all. You're not using it if you cannot see the noticeable change in your life. All right, so Acts 2:1. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people were all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are now. You just got to go with me on this. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia. You guys are reading along with me. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts from Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, right, we got there. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Everyone had tongues in each other's languages. God made this possible that each one could understand each one, so they could hear the message of Jesus. Now, I felt God gave me this message on the plane for this particular part, because the infilling of the Holy Spirit gives us boldness to stand up, to be witnesses for Jesus to everything that we think we are in our heads is the opposite to what pretty much usually to what the Holy Spirit says that we are and gives us the power to do. All the insecurities that come, all the voices that come, all the words that have spoken over us, all the things that we think that we can't do, all the life things that come against us, all the times that we're feeling low, all the times that we're feeling like the world's against us, all the times that we're feeling we can't stand, all the times that we're feeling, I don't know how I'm going to go to the next day, all the times that we're feeling, how am I going to do this? That is when the Holy Spirit is there for you. And He's with you. And He's a person in you. But what I felt the Lord gave me for us and where we've been going, and He gave me on the way back from Queensland from the conference, is the unity that they had in that room. And not just the unity that they prayed in prior, because it said they came in unity. And you had women there. You had people there that were not even on the same page prior to that. You had Jesus' brothers there who didn't even believe who He was prior. So they must have had some sort of transformation in those 40 days that He came back. He must have showed them who He was too, because they had said He was crazy. So there was a whole bunch of people that were in this room that didn't see eye to eye, but they were in unity. But what I love that stood out to me for us was the way God gave the languages, and these languages were in each other's languages that God did. So everybody, He did this bang from heaven so that everybody could come. He brings people so that people that He infills can then speak to these people in their own languages. So it wasn't tongues for people for themselves at that time. It was tongues for others. So that everybody could know the good news of Jesus. And then 3,000 people are saved that day. So there was so much unity in that day. And what happens through the Holy Spirit, and what the enemy uses, is he uses the Holy Spirit and the gifts, and what happens is to divide. It's the complete opposite to what Pentecost is about. We actually will fight amongst Christians and ourselves about the gifts and about tongues and about what that means, and we do the exact opposite to what Pentecost actually is about. Pentecost is about unity. Pentecost is about coming together. Pentecost is about bringing people to know Jesus. And we will fight against each other, and it's a definite opposite to what Pentecost is about. Pentecost is about unity, and Pentecost is about coming together. So they came in unity. I wrote all of that anyway. So yes, so prior to that, so the disciples, for example, prior were self-willed, self-promoting. The disciples argued about which one was the greatest, who would sit at the right hand of Jesus. Even immediately after the resurrection, John outran Peter to get to the tomb. Immediately after the Holy Spirit, this created unity. And this created a unity that people can't create. It was a unity that only the Holy Spirit could create. And after this, we see that Peter and John walked together, preached together, healed in Jesus' name together, got arrested together. These two people trying to outrun, next minute they're doing everything together. Instead of competing, the disciples were now cooperating. Instead of conflict, they're now collaborating. This is through the Holy Spirit. It happens through the Holy Spirit. So the fulfilling of Acts 1:8, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. This was the fulfillment. You will get power. This is what this was. You will get the power. This was not, if you speak in tongues, you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. This is everybody gets the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not a competition of who does have the power and who doesn't have the power. And this is where we lose people. And I'll be honest, the devil loves this for you. He loves it for you. Because we leave the Holy Spirit dormant because we don't understand. And then we go, well, I don't speak in tongues, therefore, what else is the Holy Spirit for? Therefore, I'll leave it, therefore. I don't speak in tongues, therefore it's gone. That's not what this was. These people all spoke in tongues. It actually says, I think, where does it say? I've got it somewhere here. Corinthians 14, right? So Paul says, if you have the ability to speak in tongues, I don't have the scripture because I'm not actually reading the scripture, but if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you should, right? Because it strengthens you. That's what it says. I know for myself, when I don't know what I'm praying, when I don't know what I'm saying, I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. I love it for me. It strengthens me. That's what I do. And sometimes when I'm praying for you guys, I'm praying in tongues. Because I don't know what I'm praying for all of you, right? I really don't. But the Spirit does, so I'll pray in tongues. It's good. It strengthens me. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for me. All that sort of stuff strengthens me. But Paul says, I wish you all could speak in tongues. But more than that, I wish you would all prophesy. Because that builds the church. That's what he said. So I wish you all would speak in tongues because that builds you. That strengthens you. So you should all desire it. But he said, more than that, I wish you would all prophesy because that builds the church. So do not get caught up in the fact that whether you do or whether you don't. Pentecost was about everybody speaking in other languages so other people could understand them, so everybody could come to know Jesus. There's a difference. It was to create unity. Don't let all of that disconnect you from the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you and to another Christian because you don't see eye to eye on it. Because in the Holy Spirit, you're actually losing the power of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. And then you're the one who's not getting the benefits of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and then the person who you were supposed to plant that seed for salvation for is missing out on what is inside of you. That's what happens. Because we are all meant to have, there's all different gifts. There's wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretations of tongues. There's a manifestation of the Spirit through us all differently, right? But what happens in the body of Christ is that we've got a million fingers running around, we've got a million torsos running around, and we've got a million legs running around, and we're all trying to compete with each other, and we're not trying to actually connect as one body. And we're all trying to compete. Toes are out there running around by themselves trying to compete with fingers, right? That's what's happening. We're all actually not connected as one complete body because we're all not figuring out what is it that's my spiritual gift and what is it that God's given me and how am I supposed to use that, right? Because that's what we're... And you know how you find that out? Ask the Holy Spirit. I know there's a lot of spiritual gift thingies out there. Like, I get that, right? But what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? He speaks to you. He speaks to you. Your Holy Spirit in you speaks to you. Talk to him. I don't know what you're saying, God. Let me just spend some time with you. He might not say something to you today. He might not say something to you tomorrow. He might say something to you on Wednesday. I think Kathy was up here talking about how every morning she would get up and, how are you today, Lord? Then one day, I don't know how long until, he actually answered her. Might not be every day that he speaks to you when you ask him a question, but be persistent. Be asking, Lord, what is it? Lord, what is it? Lord, what is it? And I guarantee you there's something you're already doing. It's something you're already doing. But if we're looking at the next person's gift and we're wanting that gift, we're just a finger with no body. We're running around by ourselves. That's like the only analogy that I actually can think about. But We can actually know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We can know he lives there. We can say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm filled with this power. I know that he lives in me. I know that he made his house in me. But really, only between you and the Holy Spirit, what's your relationship with him? That's up to you. What's your relationship with him? David says, I set the Lord before me every morning. Is your awareness of the Holy Spirit all the time? Or is it mainly when you come to church and we're singing songs about the Spirit? Or when you're listening to me talking about, you know, fingers, whatever. But, or when you're coming to a ministry, or when you're going to a Bible study, when you're going to a connect group, is that when you're aware of the Holy Spirit? Or when you're thinking about the Lord? Or when you're thinking, is that when you're aware of it? How aware are you of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you waking up and setting him before you every morning? It's something that the more we do, the more we're aware, the more we're going to start building a relationship with him. The more we're going to start hearing him. The more we're going to start knowing what he wants us to do. Because it's not just for us. It's for the next person. Who is he wanting you to talk to? Who is he wanting you to call? Who is he putting before you? How does he want you to live? What is he trying to say to you? How is he wanting to guide you? How is he wanting to comfort you? If you're going through something right now and you're feeling like I'm alone, you're not. You're actually not. But if you're feeling alone, you're not tapping into the one that's living on the inside of you. And I'm not trying to be harsh, but you're not. You're missing out on the one that's actually trying to comfort you. You're missing out on the one that's trying to guide you. You're missing out on the one that's trying to talk to you. You're missing out on the one that really loves you. You're missing out on the one that's there for you. You're missing out on the one that's bigger than you walking with Jesus in the flesh, that's living on the inside of you. If you are here going, I don't know what to do, or I'm feeling alone, or I need guidance, you're missing out on what's living on the inside of you, because it's there. All right, so there's one thing that I've noticed. I've noticed it in here quite a bit. I noticed it a lot with Elton. I won't go into details because I won't expose Elton even more, or both of us. But Elton said that there was a big journey from where he was to where we are today. But that came with a lot of ups and downs. And he talked about us coming into church, wherever the church was, because we moved quite a few times before we came here, not churches, in buildings. And we would argue quite a bit coming into church because there was always something going on. And I always knew that every time we got into the presence, we wouldn't argue anymore. It'd be gone. And I've seen it happen with different relationships, with different people. When they're in the presence, you can't hold on to what's going on the inside of you. You can't. Because in the Holy Spirit, you can't hold on to bitterness. You can't hold on to hurt. You can't hold on to unforgiveness. You can't hold on to fear. You can't hold on to any of that stuff. We can have it, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit, when it's actually full blown, you can't hold on to it. So a good indication of how you're feeling or how close you are to the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you is, how's your unforgiveness going? How's your heart going? How's your hurt going? How's your bitterness going? How's your fear going? How's your intimidation going? How's all of that going? If that's louder, you've got to work on the relationship with the Holy Spirit a bit more. I'm the same. And that's my indication. I'll actually know when something is taking over. Okay, Lisa, back it up a little bit. That's my indication. But I know in this room, when the presence is so thick, nothing can stand. Because love holds no account. Love holds no wrong. So if we actually, the Holy Spirit is stronger on us on the inside because of that connection that we're having, can't hold any wrong. So if you're holding on to wrong and you're holding on to hurt and you're holding on to all of this stuff, then the Holy Spirit's laying dormant right now. Because it can't hold when he's bigger in you. It can't hold. So how does it look to preserve unity of the Spirit? How does it look to invest me, to not put me at the center, to not just tick a box and say, I pray for someone, so then I pray for someone, but I've ticked a box. Jesus, help them, ease my conscience. Phew, I pray for them, let's move on. But truly pray and act, allowing the power of the Spirit to transform us, to see each other and to actually be unified together. So John 17, 21, 23, it says that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, and that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. The bigger picture of Pentecost. The bigger picture of Pentecost was unity in the Spirit, so we all may show who Jesus Christ is, so the world may be reconciled to who he is. This was not fighting about theology. This was about us all having the power of the Holy Spirit to go testify and be witnesses of who he is, so then he may be reconciled with the entire world. That's the bigger picture of Pentecost. That's who we are supposed to be, but unified. Unified. We're supposed to be unified. So based on these scriptures, so the way the world will know and will recognize and be convinced of God's work in our lives and his love towards them is through our love and unity with one another. So Peter stands up and declares, I will pour my spirit upon all people, and other translations, on all flesh, every race. I will pour out my spirit upon people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Gender barriers broken, age barriers broken, class barriers broken, all level playing field when the Spirit shows up. We are busy fighting about everything. Everything is broken when the Spirit shows up. Unity is the fruit and the outworking of the Holy Spirit. Men, women, young, old, all races, rich and poor, all in that upper room, that's where they were. 3,000 were saved that day. Peter's words pierced the heart, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should, And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away. Those who believe that what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, 3,000 in all. We are seeing more and more disconnection and isolation in our world. We are seeing more isolated groups. We are seeing more class, like groups of different classes separated. We are seeing more genders separated. We are seeing, I had a conversation with my brother. So me and my brother, people who know me and my brother are like, we're like chalk and cheese, right? So he gets on the phone to me and he's doing some app and he's like, Lisa, blah, 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 I'm doing this app and, you know, AI can do this coding and da, da, da. And he sends me this podcast. I haven't listened to it yet. And he's like, 2 hours. I've listened to it three times. And it's basically saying that anyone can develop an app, and instead of costing $150,000 to do this app, this AI can code it and then you can make millions. And it's said that in this amount of years that anyone can do it and they can make millions. But then because of AI, it's going to be that these people over here people lose their jobs, they can't even make $10 an hour. And I said to him, and you think this is good? And he goes, but yeah, because it can wipe out poverty. I said, how? And he goes, because you could be in the middle of Africa and make an app because it won't cost you anything because the AI could do it. And I said, I was lucky I was driving because I reckon I would have gone. And all I could respond, because I just said to him, because you've got people making millions a month in his language and not even $10 an hour in his language. All I said was, Steve, I hope Jesus comes before that day. That's all I could say. Because I was like, I got off the phone and then I'm like, Mum, have you spoken to Steve? But that's where the world is headed to. And some people think that is good. And the class division, the gender divisions, it's worse now than it ever was before. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And this is where we're actually meant to rise in unity and go, who is the Holy Spirit inside me? Now, who do I actually witness Jesus to? Not fight amongst each other about what the gifts are and who's a woman, who's not, and who this and who that. And we're actually wasting our time and energy and getting nowhere. And the devil loves it. We're not winning. We go away thinking we won an argument, and the devil goes, I got them, because they haven't witnessed to anybody. They might have thought they've won an argument, and they've lost somebody to the kingdom of God. Everything that you do, everything should be a seed for somebody else's salvation. Full stop. Nothing else. Everything that you do should be a seed for somebody else's salvation. Full stop. If you're arguing about theology, that's not a seed to someone's salvation, because that person already thinks they're saved. So it's not a seed to somebody's salvation. So Peter before Pentecost was passionate, but inconsistent, full of faith one moment, full of fear the next. He failed, often misunderstood God's plan, and denied Jesus. After Pentecost, he was bold, courageous, and spirit-filled and led, a true leader who helped grow the kingdom and spread the message of Jesus to the world. You have to know which one you are. You're either before it or you're after it. You're either misunderstanding God's plan or you're standing bold in who he's called you to be and you're his witness. You're before or you're after. You can't be in between. You're before or you're after. You're full of fear and you're inconsistent, or you're courageous and you're bold and you're standing up. We can be working towards one, but work towards one. Don't just stand in one. Because there's things that I go through. Insecurities, all of that sort of stuff. I had somebody tell me once when I was coming up here to be a woman pastor that I should get a couple of men to affirm me up here when I get up here on stage. And I felt like maybe I needed that. So I had to work through insecurities. I had to work through intimidation. I didn't want to stay there. So you can't want to stay there. You have to acknowledge where you are and then go, okay, now I have to be bold and step into where God's called me to be. So you have to know which one you are. You're before or you're after, but you have to know where you're working towards. When the Spirit of God has his rightful place in you, the fearful become bold, the lost get saved, competitors become collaborators, the divided become united, the individuals become a team. Those who were timid or apprehensive poured into the streets and became world changers. So I'll grab you up in a couple of seconds. Hang on. I'm going to give you three steps. I think Taylor loves steps. So I'm going to give you three steps. If you stand here and you go, I don't know how to actually connect with the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to give you three steps. Surrender daily. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit through prayer and invite him to lead your life. You might not know how that looks, but you're surrendering daily. Setting before you daily. Like David said, I set the Lord before me daily. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Have your way with me today. The power flows from surrender, not striving. We sang it today. It's not about striving. Stay in God's word and prayer. How you see him is how you will relate to him. How you see him in your prayer is how you will relate to him daily. How you see him in your prayer is how you will relate to him daily. How close is he to you? How do you talk to him? The Holy Spirit speaks through Scripture. So it doesn't mean if you didn't read today that you failed. It just means make an effort. Make an effort. It's a choice. You control your choices. As you read the Bible, he brings you life, giving you wisdom, strength, conviction. There's Bible apps. Start there. We have table connect groups. Start there. His power grows as you feed your spirit with truth. Step out in faith. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live boldly, to pray for others, speak truth, love deeply, and serve beyond our own ability and strengths. Some of us get by on our talents. It doesn't last forever. Our strengths and our giftings come from him, come from the Lord. We can have talents, but our giftings come from him. Our talents can burn us out. Our giftings come from him. And if you don't know how to witness Jesus, we were saying it last week, when you're serving at the door, when you're saying hello, to when you're, you know, welcoming team people in, or different things that you're doing, you're actually being a part of someone's salvation. Start there. There's different ways that you can actually be a part of a seed of someone's salvation if you don't know how to actually go out and speak. Not everybody knows how to do that, but there's different ways that you can do that. So surrender to him, stay in his word and prayer, and step out in faith. that some steps of how you can actually start. So after Pentecost, there was no longer they were no longer afraid. Instead of being self-centered, they were Christ-centered. So what's this center in your life? So I'll grab the band up now. Pentecost can't be repeated historically, but it can be personally repeated and it should be every single day. Every single day it should be repeated in our lives. So after Pentecost, it was no longer about status and position, but now they had a deep desire to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus. It was no longer going to a meeting place. It was now meeting God personally every single day. It changed from going to a meeting place to every day meeting Jesus. It shouldn't come to a Sunday. This should just be fellowship that you come together with people. But every day you should be meeting the Lord. Every day you should be speaking to the Holy Spirit in you. So with every eyes closed, the greatest need in the church today, I believe, and I think everyone that is a Christian would believe, is to rediscover who the Holy Spirit is in them. Because the more we actually rediscover who the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and we come in unity, the more people will be saved to the kingdom of God. The more people are saved to the kingdom of God, the more people will be saved to the kingdom of God. It's as simple as that. We actually make it. I think we sang that too. Maybe we've made it complicated. I actually think we've made it complicated, because it's not complicating. Life happens to us, things happen to us. But the truth is that Jesus died and rose for us so we could have eternity with him. So we don't have to have death as we might have had it. We can have eternity with him. Then he places that power on the inside of us that's even stronger than us walking in the flesh with Jesus Christ. Then we lay it dormant, fight amongst each other, not saying people here are doing that, fight amongst, and just saying the wider body, fighting amongst each other instead of coming together, growing the kingdom, and our voices being louder. Instead of our voices being louder, the world's voices being louder, and then they're creating these divides when Pentecost was all about creating the unity about it. So then we go backwards and we go, hang on a minute, there's one scripture that says this, and then there's one scripture that says this, and then there's one, let's take out these little scriptures. Let's not find out the actual meaning of that. Let's not go where it says, I've created unity amongst all of this and poured out my spirit on all flesh. And let's pinpoint this and let's fight amongst each other because that seems like a better idea than unity. That's not what he created. He created unity. He created us to be in community. And then what happens is, we get out of the church, we isolate ourselves, then we're by ourselves. And that's not what he created. He created us to be in community with each other. He created us to love one another. And he created us to be together in his love. Love holds no wrongs. Love holds no record. So if you're holding a record or you're holding wrong, you can all stand. So I think the band's going to sing a song now, and I just want to open the altar for a couple of things. If you're standing here this morning, you're saying, I know the Holy Spirit lives in me, but I don't know how to actually activate that. I don't know how to, it feels dormant. I don't know how to activate it. I don't know how to start it. And you want prayer for that? We're going to pray for you this morning. You can come down the altar. And if you're here this morning and you're going, you know what? I'm that. I'm full of fear, I'm full of intimidation, I'm full of bitterness, I'm full of unforgiveness, I'm full of all of those things, I'm full of anger, I can't let go of the past, I can't live in the boldness and the courage being the witness of Jesus that I'm created to be. Then we're going to pray for that. You can come down the front. We're going to pray for that this morning as well. So we're going to pray for those two things right now. As the band starts singing, we'll open up the altar. But I just want to pray for everybody right now. Just thank you, Father. We just thank you, God, that you have filled us with your Spirit, Father. That is power, God. You have filled us with your power that is better for us than if you were walking with us in the flesh, Jesus. Thank you for who you are in us. Thank you that you've created us to be bold, that to stand up in faith, that to stand up in your strength, and to stand up in what you've created us to be in unity, to be your witness, to go out to all the ends of the earth and to be your witness, to step out of these doors and to be your witness, to go down the street and be your witness, to get in our cars and go to our neighborhood and be your witness, to go to our work and be your witness, to go to the shops and be your witness, to go to a school and be your witness. Anyone that comes before us, that you send before us, to know that we will plant a seed of salvation in that person, however that will look, Father. Give us the courage to do that. Give us the boldness to do that. Give us the strength to do that. Show us how to just transform our lives, Father, that we will see such a contrast of our old to our new. That like Peter, when we put our foot in our mouths, Father, that we might say something or be inconsistent or doubt you or take our eyes off you or fall asleep when you tell us to stay awake, Father. When we do those things, God, you're so gracious and you're so merciful, Father. But teach us, Lord, what you want us to do. Show us, God, how you want us to live. Show us what you want us to do and give us your strength to be able to fulfill that, Father. Your boldness, Father, in the Spirit, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you have filled every single one of us with your power, Father. Is there anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ? If you don't know Jesus or walked away from Jesus now, just raise your hand, because that's the first step. If you don't know Jesus now, just raise your hand, or if you've walked away, just raise your hand before we go any further with, because that's the power, that's where it first comes. All right, so we all know Jesus. We all have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So right now, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And we're going to activate the Spirit that's on the inside of us to be bold, to be courageous, to plant seeds in people for salvation, to be witnesses for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for who you are in every single one of us, Lord. May we grow your kingdom, Father. May we grow your kingdom. May we partner with you to grow your kingdom. May we be Christ-centered and not self-centered. May we see you in everything that we do. May we release control to you, and everything that we do, may we give the control to you, and may you take charge. Thank you, Father, for who you are, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Right, if you want prayer for activation of the Spirit, or you go, you know what, I need to get rid of what's going on in my heart, I need prayer for that, come down the front and we're going to worship. Ooh.